Nick Kiprios, insider NHL on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys.
Now, I know you've got, what a week for you. I know you have several suspects, but I want you to tell the world, tell the listening public, Elliot and me are innocent bystanders with our Babcock Matthews question. That thing took on, but here's what you didn't use. You didn't use the word rift. You didn't use the word dislike. You didn't use the word feud, but a bunch of other people in our fair city did, didn't they? Didn't they? They blew this up. They started a fire from like a little twig that I took a butane torch to, didn't they?
Yeah, Elliot told me this week I wrote probably about 50 articles on it. nobody attached my name to their articles that week.
You have a novel coming about it that's part fiction, part reality, yeah.
Really, guys, really surprised at that type of reaction off of our conversation last week.
It's amazing because you have a new general manager coming in, and he's hearing about this, and he's whoever it is, he's going to have to find out about it right away.
I don't think he does.
Yes,
does he?
He does.
So what are you going to send them on an island trip together? They don't need to go away anywhere.
So it's not nothing, Greg. It's not nothing.
I think it's over, right, Nick? I don't think this is something that lingers into training camp, right? He's star number one center. He's a A-list coach. There's mutual benefits to working well together, right?
Well, I wrote on it a couple of days ago, and it's one of those things where it's really not that uncommon that a coach and a star get into a scenario where there's a lack of trust with the ice time, and it usually kind of fixes itself, and probably this will be the case at some point, you know, whether or not it's discussed in a meeting this summer or it just kind of evolves on its own. But, you know, Matthews wants to play more, I'm sure. He wants to play more. He wants to have better situational ice time scenarios, and he wants to be the guy. So that should happen. He's a fantastic hockey player. He's their franchise player. I don't see a scenario where it doesn't fix itself.
Like, I mean, Sidney Crosby's had five different coaches. I'm sure at any point in time when getting wind of that coach being in danger, Michelle Therrien and Dan Bylsma, Crosby could burst into Mario's office and say, please don't do this. But not every star does. We saw that last year with Jack Eichel and Dan Bylsma. I'm sure Jack Eichel could have made a big-time plea, but he didn't. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes that disconnect grows. I don't think you're even near that scenario here in Toronto. Not even close. And that's partly because of Babcock's job security and partly because you're a superstar, and he is that. He's only won five playoff games. He's only 20 years old. He's got a lot of growing to do. Sure he does.
I will say, though, that Buffalo scenario was an interesting dynamic for sure. You know, in terms of, how much power, you know, certain players have at certain points of their career. When you're talking about, you know, Sid or anyone else, and I mean, coaches are smart. They know they can't win without their star players. They can't win without them buying in and most often than not leading the way. So no one better than that on the planet than Sid Crosby. Sullivan's done a nice job with him over the last few years.
With Nick Kiprios, insider from Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. It's a three-game suspension for Tom Wilson. It seems like something has changed, like three playoff games. You told someone that 2 years ago. No way. No one's ever going to. What did he do? He take someone's head off?
You got to go Dale Hunter almost on Pierre Turgeon.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So what did you think about this suspension? And do you think you would have felt differently hearing about it before this year's playoffs started?
Well, it was the closest thing we can see to a pretty good body check. You know, we looked at Kadri's three games and Wilson's. And one looked way worse than the other, and that was Kadri's. And Kadri's didn't have remotely the impact that this hit had, and the evidence and the proof is a broken jaw, right? It's just, there's no way avoiding that. He went to go hit a guy, although it looked a lot cleaner in terms of, you know, what the intent was than Kadri. Guy ends up with a broken jaw. So that in itself is something that the league had to address. If you look at the breakdown of the hit and how at the last minute he made a conscious decision to go from probably hitting Austin Reese with his right shoulder to his left, that was enough to change the angle of the impact of the hit. And although on one angle it probably shows some really good intent on more body, the left shoulder does do all the damage on his face by breaking his jaw. So I do believe that the league felt like they had no choice on this call.
Nick Kiprios, our guest, 8:21. Doubleheader tonight on CBC. Caps, Pens, Preds, Jets. You've seen Paul Maurice evolve as a coach, been at it a long, long time. I mean, we're talking 22 years of head coaching and twice in Carolina. Do we think of him now more, and does this Jets run put him in a better spot? He was thought to be one of the hot seat coaches coming in this year. The Jets gave Cheveldayoff and Maurice a long, long rope with not a ton of success. Are we back to where Maurice is sort of like everything he touches turns to gold? That's how we felt in Carolina in 02 when he outcoached, I don't know if he outcoached Pat Quinn, but he got past the Leafs that year.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. And he is at that point. And I know there's a lot of people that didn't have a lot of faith in him in terms of long-term success there in Winnipeg. And it did seem like he was on the ropes a little bit. But I think he's done a fantastic job. I think he's like 51, 52. And like the coaching that he's done throughout his career and getting the job at such a young age and how it's evolved and how much he's learned from it. The bottom line is he does a great job of giving ownership to the players. He really does. And I thought even just that subtle change of Nick Ehlers and Kyle Connor to kind of free up a little bit Wheeler and Shifley was a great coaching move the other night for his hockey club. And yeah, he's done a terrific job. But the bottom line is he gives ownership to Byfuglien and Shifley and Wheeler, and those guys have got terrific character, and it's a fun team to watch. You know, I know you wonder whether or not, you know, for whatever reason, when the Ottawa Senators when they're on their long runs, it's always like, can they capture, you know, the country's attention, you know? And the same questions was asked about Winnipeg. And I think they'll have no problem moving forward here because it really comes down to, I think, a brand of hockey.
Yeah, and people love this team. They love this team. They didn't like the Sens team last year. They love this team.
No, and I think it comes down to style of play a little bit. More than anything, and this team is fun to watch, and their players are fun to watch, and there's some personality, and you know, Shifley, he's a superstar in that hockey club. Yet, you know, he'll score the goal like a superstar, or he'll get in on the forecheck, or you know, he'll come to the defense of Wheeler. I mean, that's some serious character right there. I love watching this team.